Good morning. So this morning, we're going to do a little bit different today. If we're going to be giving you a few opportunities throughout my message to spend some time thinking through or talking with the people that you're watching this broadcast with, even making comments in the comments section to get us engaging a little more. So I just wanted to give you a heads up as we got rolling this morning that's kind of how this message is going to work. I came across this story about a couple who a few days before their wedding got invited to join a number of people on a leisurely cruise along the Florida coast. And that's exactly what it started out like, just kind of this leisurely cruise, people enjoying each other's company, laying out, getting some sun, feet over the side of the boat, even a few people napping. But then came a storm. The sky darkened, rain started, and all of a sudden this nice leisurely cruise stopped being leisurely. There was no more napping, no more sun tanning. Instead, all eyes turned to Milt. Milt was the captain, and he knew what to do. He told people where to sit, he told others what he needed them to do, and they did exactly what he said, because he knew best, and because they trusted him. Right now, you could say that we are in a storm like we've never experienced before. We've all been warned in the past about the bird flu, about H1N1 and other health scares, but I don't think any of us have ever seen what we're seeing right now. It's March, and there's no basketball on of any kind. There's no baseball. There's no hockey. We can't go sit in a restaurant. We can't go see a movie. And now we've been, for the most part, ordered to stay in our homes unless it's essential to leave. All of a sudden, all those things that we've taken for granted forever are being threatened. We can't find cleaning supplies, and yet we're told that we're supposed to be disinfecting our counters and our doorknobs every few times a day. We can't find toilet paper. And now things are beginning to get worse because businesses are needing to cut costs. People are being laid off. People are losing their jobs altogether. I think it's safe to say that maybe for the first time ever, all of us, not just some of us, are crying out for help. Many of us have had lives where we have never needed God all that much. Many of us have never really had to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And yet at this time in history, we are all wondering where our help is going to come from. I want you to take a couple of minutes right now to pray, to ask God to truly open you up to His Word this morning. In this time of uncertainty, fear, confusion, and great difficulty, we need the truth that we are going to look at this morning to bury deep in our souls. So for the next 2 minutes, pray. Pray with one another in the room that you are in. Ask God to help you experience Him and the truth of His Word in a powerful, deep, and meaningful way. Let Him know right now what you're battling and that you need Him. You need His help. Let's pray. This morning, we are going to dive deep into one of the songs of ascents, Psalm 121. Now, three times a year, according to Deuteronomy 16:16, God's people were to come to Jerusalem for the three major feasts to worship God with God's people and celebrate God's provision and God's mighty works. Now, the reason this is called a song of ascents is because whatever direction you were coming from, you had to go up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was up on a mountain. So this was one of 15 songs that they sang as they approached the mountain, as they prepared to worship and celebrate with God's people. These are the songs that prepared their hearts and reoriented them on their long and difficult journey. This psalm, for many, is a source of great comfort and confidence, especially in times like we are in right now. Times of fear, times of anxiety, times of difficulty, times of hardship. I mean, this is a psalm that I continually come back to when I don't understand what God is doing. When I am, or when people around me are hurting, are discouraged and beaten down. Because in the midst of the current circumstances and experiences that try to tell us that God isn't here, that God doesn't care about us, that we're insignificant, that we're unworthy, that we're unwanted, unlovable, this psalm shouts the truth about who God is and His care and provision for us. So this morning, if you're discouraged, if you're exhausted, if you're uncertain and scared about who God is and what He's up to, if He's up to anything at all, hear Psalm 121 and be encouraged. Allow the truth of the Scripture and the truth of the Gospel to be louder than any other voices you hear. We're going to read this together this morning, and I encourage you to do two things this morning. One, read it out loud with me in the middle of your living room. Read it out loud with me. And two, I want you to pay attention to your thoughts and to the questions that arise as you read this, because I'm going to ask you to write your initial thoughts and questions in the comments section after we read it. So let's read Psalm 121 together this morning. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What are your initial thoughts as you read that? What are the questions that you have? I want you to go ahead and write those in the comment section, or just talk about those with the people that you're with. I'm going to give you a minute to do that right now. I want us to use Psalm 121, to reorient us on our journey. I think it's safe to say that we all feel like we're off course a little bit right now. Like we're hiking through the woods or we're on a mountain path, but somehow we've gotten off the trail. We're wandering into scary territory, into dangerous territory, and we need to get back on course. Remember, God's people were traveling to Jerusalem to worship. And I want to let you know that it was a difficult journey. The mountains are steep. They're grueling. There are thieves and bandits ready to strike at any moment. The sun is scorching during the day, and it's difficult to do anything in the dark. They would be very tempted to go back. very tempted to look for help in places that seem promising, but only hurt them or get them lost more. Psalm 121 is going to be our trail this morning. It's going to help us get back to the right understanding of who God is, and it's going to keep us from wandering off into the woods again, looking for something that promises a lot, but never, ever delivers. So the first thing that we want to look at this morning is, where do we go for help? Right? Because verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? That implies that we are going to need help at some point. And I think that that time has come for all of us. I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to be honest. You don't have to share this out loud if you don't want to. But when trouble hits you, where or what is the first thing that you turn to for help? Now, the original travelers who were singing this song on their way to Jerusalem, they looked up and they saw the mountains and they saw the hills and they asked that same question. Where's my help going to come from? And why is that so significant? Well, you need to know that when they looked up into the mountains, they would have seen one of three things. They would have either saw the beauty and the majesty of the hills, or when they looked up, they saw the mountains and they saw the hills, but it brought fear and uncertainty and difficulties that this journey was going to bring. They thought about the robbers that could get them at any time. They thought about the wild animals that might attack them. They thought about the cliffs and the rocks that might bring injury or danger. They saw their circumstances and they thought, this is dangerous. This is hard. What's going to help me? Where can I go for help? And then that might make them think about other things that they would have seen when they looked up in the hills. So at this time, as they were looking up, they would have seen the high places, the shrines, the Asherah poles, the places of pagan worship and sacred prostitution that offered help and protection from their trials, from the sun god or the moon god, from the devils that lived under the rocks waiting to trip them up. They offered protection and they helped them feel good for a time. Isn't that true for us too? Right? When we are in times like we are in right now, as we're frustrated, as we're in pain, when we're struggling, when failure and discouragement grow, we look for help too. But as I asked earlier, where do you go? What promises safety and comfort for you? Is it your job? Money? It could be your children. It could be a relationship. It could be pills or alcohol, Netflix, pornography. How about focusing on something you feel like you can control? Anything. Anything that quiets the voices that whisper that you're a failure, that you're weak, that there's no hope anymore. We tend to look for something to bring meaning or something to escape the anxiety, something to bring satisfaction, pleasure, or hope. But when we're honest, when I'm honest, I don't immediately go to God. I don't want His help. I don't immediately go to Him. We want immediate relief. We want immediate answers. We want immediate clarity. We want to fix the nagging hole and deficit. We want to fix the problem, so we surround ourselves with helps that promise relief, that promise answers, that promise pleasure, that promise safety, that promise you'll feel anything but fear and confusion and despair. You see, we go to the hills for help. But like Jeremiah says in chapter 3, verse 23, he says, truly the hills are a delusion. We lift our eyes up to the hills and these offers of help, instant gratification. But as one author says, a look to the hills for help ends in disappointment. For all their majesty and beauty, for all their quiet strength and firmness, they're finally just hills. For all their promises of safety against the perils of the road, for all their allurements of their priests and priestesses, they are all finally lies. The bottom line is, if these are the places we go for help, they will 100% of the time leave us wanting, leave us more lonely, without answers. They leave us less of who we were made to be. But verse 2 offers another way. When the psalmist looked up to the hills, when the people singing this psalm look to the hills and they consider all that the hills offer are shadows and illusions, empty promises for life and comfort and confidence, they remember who it is that made the hills and they reorient their hearts toward him. Listen to what verse 2 says. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help comes from the one true God, from Yahweh, the God who gave us his name, the God who made all of heaven and earth and everything in them by speaking into nothingness and creating them with just his words. Our help doesn't come from creation, but from the one who created everything. Now, this psalm is meant to reorient our hearts toward God in the midst of times like we're in right now, in the middle of life's difficulties, and to instill confidence in him. However, a hasty or hurried reading of this psalm can actually lead us to be greatly discouraged. Listen, verse 3 says, he will not let your foot be moved. But we think about that, and I think about the fact that my foot slips all the time. I struggle, and I fail, and I fall hard day after day. Verse 6 says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. But you're thinking, I just lost my job. Bad things do happen to me. Bad things do happen to all of us, in the day and in the night, all the time. Verse 7 says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. And you're thinking, what? Evil is constantly around me. Other people hurt me. People that I love get sick. Injustice happens so frequently that we can become numb to the horror and tragedies that are occurring in our lives, in our country, in our world all the time. Evil is a very present reality, and we're not immune to its effects and its pains. So what's going on here? I want to slow down for just a moment, and I want you to take time and talk about how you feel right now. How do you feel right now in the midst of all that you may be going through, in the midst of what you know others are going through, and what these verses say to you? What questions do they bring up? Now, this might be uncomfortable for some of you because we don't like to doubt. We don't like to admit that we're struggling with God's word and what it says and going, but these things don't feel real to me. But God can take it. And I think it's good for us to every once in a while be honest about what we're feeling and what we're going through. So take a moment as you look through these verses. How does it make you feel? What questions come up? I'm going to give you 2 minutes to kind of talk about this. And if you want to comment, you can. If you don't, just talk about it with the people that you're with, or think about it if you're alone. seems like we could read this and get discouraged because these things do happen to me, right? They may be happening to you right now. So our conclusion is that I'm not one of God's people. I must not be following God appropriately, or else these things wouldn't happen to me. Or you might be thinking the psalmist is a liar. But then that means that Scripture is a bunch of lies and can't be trusted. And then that means that God is a liar and He can't be trusted. So which is it? Well, there's a quote by Eugene Peterson where he says, "The promise of this psalm is not that we shall never stub our toes, but that no injury, no illness, no accident, no distress will have evil power over us. That is, will be able to separate us from God's purposes in us." You see, the Bible and the Psalms are very realistic and honest in facing the harsh difficulties and troubles of life. At no place in the Bible does it say that following Jesus will result in you avoiding pain, avoiding sin and the effects of evil. At no time is there the faintest suggestion that the life of faith exempts us from difficulties. And anyone that says that is lying to you. What this psalm does promise is not exemption from difficulties, but preservation and protection from all the evil in them. So going back to our sailing illustration from before, if you've ever been on a boat, you know it doesn't matter how much water is in the ocean. The water itself cannot sink a ship unless there's a crack in the boat and the water can get inside. And just like the water itself can't sink a boat unless it gets inside of it, nor can all the trouble in the world harm us unless it gets within us. You see, that's the promise of this psalm. God guards you from every evil. That evil, if you are God's, cannot get inside of you. It cannot separate you from God's love and God's call and God's purpose for your life. None of the things that happen to us, none of the troubles that confront you right now have the power to get between you and God. They can't dilute His grace in you, and they can't divert you from His purposes for you. And if that's true, that provides us with great encouragement, great confidence and help in the midst of great struggle, weakness, and confusion. Eugene Peterson says the only serious mistake we can make when sickness comes, when our anxiety overtakes us, when conflict breaks our relationships, when tragedy strikes, is to conclude that God has gotten bored with us and has shifted His attention to a better Christian, or that God has gotten disgusted with our failings and our wanderings and He's decided to let us fend for ourselves for a while, or that God has gotten too busy to care about the messes and the problems in our lives. The danger that this psalm is fighting against is our temptation to think that God's interest, that His favor, that His love for us waxes and wanes in response to our spiritual temperature at any moment. We begin looking to the hills for help when we start to believe things like that. We know God created all this and He's supposed to care for us, but it doesn't feel like He does sometimes. And so we go after our own remedies because why would He care about me? How do we know that when we feel this way, we should not trust our feelings because our feelings are wrong? Well, we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to the one who came and was counted among those whose feet slip, who gave into temptation and looked to the hills, to anywhere but God for life, for purpose, for meaning and satisfaction. We need to look to the one who was struck by the sun and the moon, who gave up heaven to come down to earth as a man, as one of us, who had God remove His hand of shade from Him on the cross when the Father turned away from Him and offered only silence to His Son. We need to look to the one who experienced and became all evil so that we could be brought in, so that we could be forgiven, adopted, given a new name, and restored to a right relationship with God. You see, Jesus experiences all our sin and all our failings and became our sin and brokenness so that when we come to Him in faith and repentance, offering our nothing, we receive Him and we receive all of His blessings, so that when God looks at us, He doesn't see someone who goes time and time again to the hills for help. Instead, He sees His perfect Son, Jesus. And God promises then that He will keep us, that He will not let us go, that He will not sleep on us, that He will not abandon us, that He's present beside us as our shade, that in Jesus our foot will never slip, that He will keep our lives, that He will keep us from every evil. We cannot be separated from Him and His love, because Jesus cannot be separated again from God and His love. You see, if you're a Christian this morning, you will lose the love of the Father when Jesus does. And since that can't and will never happen, that's good news for us. If you're a follower of Jesus, the difference and encouragement for us is that in each step we take, in each breath we breathe, we know that we are preserved by God. We're accompanied by God. We're ruled by God. He has not and He will not leave us. And therefore, no matter what doubts you face, whatever confusion you endure, what accidents we experience, what trouble we go through, the Lord will guard us from every evil. He guards our very life, and we cannot be separated from Him. Now, if you're kind of unsure of this Jesus and this Christianity thing this morning, I want to ask you, do you have this type of confidence in anything? Do you have the love of something that cannot fail you, that promises to not forsake you despite anything you've done, anything you will do, or anything that's been done to you? What would it be like to be loved like this, without bargaining, without manipulation, but to know peace and have this confidence even in the midst of great pain and uncertainty? Grab a hold of this one this morning who promises to keep you, to be present with you, and to never leave you. I can't help but think of Romans 8, where Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the promise of Psalm 121. That's the kind of confidence the psalm is trying to instill in us. Do you know this confidence this morning? Now, I don't know how this virus has specifically impacted you. Maybe you're worried about your job, your family, your classes, your health, your 401k. I want to challenge us this morning. Let's take hold of Him together, looking not to the hills for our help, but to the one who made them and us, and who promises that if we are His, there is nothing that this world can do to separate us from His love. Let's pray together.